With Empire KBCR News, I'm Shereen Awad. The Diocese of San Bernardino introduced the successor to the Bishop of San Bernardino at a press conference Monday. KBCR's Benjamin Perper was there and has this report.
Bishop Alberto Rojas will succeed current San Bernardino Bishop Gerald Barnes as the head of the Diocese of San Bernardino after his retirement. Until Bishop Barnes submits his letter of resignation to Pope Francis on his 75th birthday in 2020, per church law, Rojas will serve as the diocese coadjutor, an assistant bishop to the main bishop. Bishop Rojas, himself an immigrant from Mexico, talked about his desire to help the immigrant population in San Bernardino at the Monday press conference.
As it was said before, I was born and raised in Aguascalientes, Mexico. This is the center of the country, small little state. And even though I have lived in this country most of my life, I can strongly identify with the experience of the immigrant brothers and sisters, because I am one of them myself.
Bishop Barnes is currently the longest-serving bishop of any diocese in the United States at 24 years, and the incoming Bishop Rojas will be the third bishop of San Bernardino in the 41-year history of the diocese. Rojas has been an auxiliary bishop of Chicago since 2011. The Diocese of San Bernardino is the nation's fifth-largest Catholic diocese and the second-largest in California. Benjamin Perper, Empire KVCR News.
Californians may be more likely to get a whiff of marijuana while walking down the street, now that the drug is fully legal in the state. One of our listeners wanted to know whether anyone's raising the alarm about secondhand pot smoke. Cap Radio's healthcare reporter, Sammy Keola, has an answer.
People can legally smoke on their porches and in their backyards in the Golden State, and weed-friendly lounges and cafes are opening in Southern California. But as public acceptance of marijuana grows, some people are concerned about secondhand effects. UC San Francisco cardiologist Matt Springer says they have reason to be.
So you're at a rock concert where people are smoking marijuana. You're at an event where there are a lot of people smoking. It may not matter what they're smoking. You're still inhaling the ultrafine particles that go into the lungs and create problems.
But scientists haven't been able to study marijuana the way they have tobacco, so the long-term effects are still a mystery. It's part of why you don't see as many public health warnings about it. Even so, some advocates are trying to change the conversation. Some counties are urging landlords to impose smoke-free housing. In cities with pot-friendly event permits, non-smokers groups are asking local officials to think about whether unhealthy smoke might drift off and affect others. In Sacramento, I'm Sammy Keola.
Ahead of PG&E's first major shutoff in October, the company refused to give counties information on medically vulnerable customers. Capital Public Radio's Scott Rodd reports.
Utilities like PG&E offer discounts to customers who rely on medical equipment powered by electricity. The programs have been adapted to help identify at-risk residents during power shutoffs. The database can be especially useful for counties.
One of the values of the medical baseline data is determining the best location for a PG&E community resource center.
Michael Romero is with Placer County Health and Human Services. He says resource centers may be the only place where residents can recharge essential medical devices like oxygen tanks. The customer information can also help counties develop evacuation plans. But PG&E refused to give this data to most counties because they didn't have non-disclosure agreements in place with the utility.
That created quite a lot of confusion in that moment.
Elizaveta Malashenko is with the California Public Utilities Commission.
It was already expected by these counties that they would receive this information, and now they kind of had to deal with this legal matter on top of the events.
PG&E released the information just a few hours before it turned the power off, only after the commission issued a formal order. Jeff Smith with PG&E says the utility was being cautious about handing over sensitive customer information.
Now, once we did receive that clarification from the CPUC, we did begin to release it.
Smith says PG&E has since provided the information to all counties that have requested it, but several say they continued to experience difficulties accessing the database during subsequent shutoffs. In Sacramento, I'm Scott Rodd.
With Empire KBCR News, I'm Shereen Awad.